It is in the energy field of the healer that determines whether healing will take place, in my humble opinion. And it is what we believe and how strongly we believe it. And I did a very special benefit on Maui a few years ago for a young man named Michael Knopf. And Michael was 32 years old, living on Maui, living his dream. Like my little boy, who is 12, tells me, "Dad," he said, "would it really upset you," he said, "if I just wanted to be a professional skateboarder and surfer?" Because that's his whole life. He goes through a pair of shoes every 2 weeks because he wears them out with that skateboarding stuff of his, and everywhere he goes, he's grinding, all right? He's got this board, and he's on it, and he's lifting it up and flipping it in the air, and that's his whole life. And I always tell him, "Sam, if that will make you happy and you feel fulfilled in your life, skateboarding and surfing, God bless you. You don't have any expectations of mine to live up to at all, especially that I would support you." But if you can figure out a way to make a living at it, boy, God bless you, go for it. Anyway, Michael was a surfing instructor, and he was a lifeguard and a waiter, and he was living his dream, a dream that I've sort of had at the back of my mind for a long time, the idea of living in that beautiful place in Maui, because I've conceived five of my books on Maui and four of our children. It's a very high energy place. And one day he was out in the surf over by Kihei, and a wave was coming in, and someone had thrown a frisbee, and in the process of throwing the frisbee, he dove for it, and instead of the wave continuing to come in, this is one wave out of a million, it reversed and it went back. And in that instant, when that wave went back, he dove and he severed his neck, and he's a quadriplegic like Christopher Reeve, only he does have movement with his arms. And he was rendered a newborn, with all the needs of a newborn in that instant. And a friend of his called me and ask, since I was on the island for the summer, if I would come over and give a talk, something like this, if they would charge people $25 or whatever, and if they would, if we would donate all of the proceeds to helping him to go to the Miami Center for the Study of Spinal Cord Injuries and do a full assessment and so on, and also purchase a van for him. And so I did that along with my friend Jerry Jampolsky. And at the end, it was a wonderful evening. It was very successful, and we raised all the money that was necessary. And at the end of the talk, there was a man who lives on Kauai, who came up to me afterwards. And he was introduced to me as a kahuna. Now, kahuna is considered to be a great healer. And they're raised in a tradition of being healers. And healing is something that has been very, very much on my mind in the last year or two. I've had some very dramatic experiences with it. I've had some people who were told that they wouldn't survive, who have recovered completely. And I've been studying some of the ancient healing principles as I'm writing this book about a spiritual approach to everything in our life, a spiritual solution, rather, to everything in our life. And I have written down, and I intend to share them with you, seven very profound and important principles, which probably you weren't taught at chiropractic school, which have come to me from some ancient sources that I'll share with you today. And I will read them to you if I don't talk about them in depth. And this kahuna was a clear man. You know what I mean when I say clear? Have you ever been around someone whose energy field you know is more purified than your own? They said of Jesus that when he would walk into a village, just his presence in the village and nothing more would raise the consciousness of those around him just by being in his presence. They said that of Buddha. I have been with people who are vibrating at a different frequency, if you will, than ordinary human awareness. And when I'm around those people and in their presence, I sense something that is non-contaminating. Not only that, but it is life-enhancing. And you feel what they call a kundalini, like an energy moving up and down. I call it like a warm shower running inside of you. Have you ever had that feeling where you just know there's something going on inside? You're not sure quite what it is, but it just feels so good that you don't want it to stop. And very often it's because you're in the presence of the energy of someone like that, or you are thinking about someone like that, or perhaps meditating about someone like that, or concentrating at such an intense level that that kundalini is moving, that energy, that chi is moving up and down. Well, that's what they say of these people. And I felt this with this gentleman who was raised in Polynesia and had been a kahuna. And I said to him, sort of half-jokingly, how do you get to be a kahuna? Do you take Kahuna 101? I mean, because people just come to you and they trust you and you lay hands on them or you talk to them or whatever it is, and you are known as a healer in these sort of, in quotes, primitive societies. And he said, well, there are two things that we are taught when we are raised as kahunas. He said, the first thing that we are taught is to never have any doubt. I call this one of the keys to higher awareness in real magic, the banishment of doubt. But it isn't like you've been raised on doubt, because most of us have been raised on doubt about what is possible and what we can do and who we are and what our destiny is and what is possible for us and so on. We're raised to believe that there's certain people and certain things that can do these things and certain people and certain things that cannot. And getting away from that conditioning is one of the more difficult things to move into a higher level of awareness. I'm not talking about being raised on doubt and then learning how to banish it. I'm talking about being raised with no doubt at all. I remember when my wife and I went into a remote village in Bali. And as we were going into the village, nobody was wearing any clothes. The women were balancing pots on their heads. It was very, very non-Western place, way, way out in a remote area of Bali in Indonesia. And at the entrance to the gate of the village, there was an old man, and he was lying there, and he was looking up at the sky, and he was chanting and making some noises. And I said to the person, there was only one person in the whole village who spoke English, who had arranged for my wife and I to visit this place. And I said to her, who is that? What is he doing? He said, oh, he's a cloud mover and a cloud maker. He makes the clouds. I said, what? He said, yeah, he's a cloud maker. I said, well, what would you want a cloud maker for? He said, well, when there's periods of drought, his assignment, his job, what he does is he brings clouds and he brings precipitation and he will end the drought. And of course, my reaction, now that was maybe 15 years ago, my reaction, and I have been known as being pretty weird, as you'll find out if you stay with me today. And when it gets real weird, I'll point it out so that you don't think I don't know. That this might sound a little strange. But at that moment, at that time in my life, even though I wanted to embrace that awareness or that notion that someone had the power to be able to alter natural forces, I still had an enormous amount of conditioned doubt that that's something that we have the capacity to do. It was only when I began to move into a much more spiritual realm in my life, when I began to realize that the same energy that moves a thought across my mind moves a cloud across the sky. There's only one. And the same energy that opens a flower in the morning beats my heart every day. And the same energy that moves the planets throughout the galaxies also allows a tiny little seed to become a human being. There's only one energy. And if there's only one energy in the world, one universal force, and it's in everything and it's everywhere, there's no place that it is not, then it's not outside the realm of even logic to assume that if it's in me and it's in the clouds, that if I could somehow banish the idea that I had the capacity to be able to use that same energy that's in the clouds, that's in me, to be able to bring about precipitation, if I had that capacity. And it's about banishing doubt. If there's any principle that is clear and profound and important in this presentation here to you today, it's in the ability to banish doubt from your contacts with those who need to be healed. They have got to enter into an energy field in which doubt is absent from the person who is doing the healing. That I am absolutely, totally convinced of. Now, the second thing that this kahuna said that they were taught. Now, imagine he had been raised to have no doubt, so that this is someone who absolutely was convinced that if they saw dogs barking and they wanted to stop them from barking, that they had the ability to do that. But they were told that as children. And if they wanted to be able to heal another person, they were told from the very beginning, you absolutely have that power to do that. They weren't any different than anybody else, except that they never had been exposed to something being impossible. They'd never heard that. They'd never been around that kind of mentality. So that kahunas had a different energy pattern when it came to healing. And if someone walks into your office and you see that person, whatever it might be, whether it's just an adjustment that might be needed, or whatever it might be, if you have a sense that I absolutely have no doubt that I can be of assistance to you, I know it, and I can convey that to you, the healing process begins. But even if you have a 1% amount of doubt that you have the capacity to do anything there, you will act upon that 1% as well, and it will manifest. As we think, so shall we be. You cannot talk about healing without talking about God, I don't think. I don't think you can talk about healing and higher levels of consciousness without speaking about spirituality. And I'm not speaking about religion here. I'm just speaking about spirituality, a higher level of consciousness. The second thing that this kahuna said is that, and he was, and I've never forgotten this, and I jotted it down and memorized it, and I've always used it, particularly with my own family, my own children, and with everyone that I come in contact. He said this. He said, when a knowing, confronts a belief in a disease process, the knowing will always triumph. When a knowing confronts a belief in a disease process, the knowing will always triumph. So how do we get to the knowing? Before I'm introduced, whenever I speak, I always repeat an affirmation from A Course in Miracles. And this affirmation goes like this. It says, if you knew, it doesn't say if you believed, it says if you knew, a knowing means an absence of doubt. If you knew who walked beside you at all times on this path that you have chosen, you could never experience fear or doubt again. And I remind myself of that as I take the microphone. And if I'm going to speak for a weekend or 20 minutes or anything in between, I always remind myself that I'm not alone. That I am connected to something that I am a part of. And it doesn't matter what you call it. As Alan Watts said, you can't get wet from the word water. Whether you call it water or aqua or anything in between, Bazaar, it's not what you call it that will make you wet. It's the substance of it. So whether you call this God or soul or spirit or consciousness is of no consequence. And it's shifting into that knowing. I've often said that when Jesus would approach a leper, he wouldn't go up to the leper and say, you know, we haven't been having a whole lot of success here with leprosy lately. It's really running rampant here. There are noses falling off. There are fingers in the ditch. This is not a pleasant sight. But I've got some advice, and I've got some herbs. And if you listen to my advice and you take these herbs, you have a 30% chance of surviving over the next 5 years. He would never say that. He said, walk. You are healed. Rise. And healing would take place. And even the least among you can do all that I have done, and even greater things. And it's a very intriguing kind of idea, this notion of being in a state of mind in which you can have a knowing that is so profound that doubt can never enter into it. Now, you have this knowing. I remember when I first read the works of the Buddha, he said the first and most significant thing for any of us to know is to come to know something that cannot be destroyed by death. The most important thing that you can learn in your life, said the Buddha, is to come to know something that cannot be destroyed by death. Jung put it this way. He said, the telling question of your life is your relationship to the infinite. If you have one, you are on a path of higher awareness. If you don't, you're not. Do you have a sense of the infinite? When Lao Tzu was asked the question, what is real, master? What is real? By his devotees and students. And Lao Tzu in the 6th century before Christ in China was considered to be God in a human form. He had that same ability, the gift of fish and loaves. He was the founder and the author of the Tao and Taoism, but he would perform miracles wherever he would go. Lights would come from him. He was considered to be one of those light beings 600 years before the birth of Christ. And when they said, what is real, master, what is real? He said, that is real which never changes. Now you look at yourself and you try to find and define something about yourself that meets that criteria, that meets that definition. What about you has never changed? Is it your body? Certainly not mine. I hold a hair up on the pillow in the morning. Say to my wife, honey, this is the metaphysical question. Final answer. What held it in yesterday? We have no idea. I've had this experience several million times. So the part of us that has never changed isn't even what we're aware of. It isn't even our mind. Our mind is changing all the time. The part of us that has never changed is called awareness. Awareness. Not what you're aware of, but awareness. And awareness is the unchangeable. It's the part of us that when we begin to live from there, we begin to make dramatic shifts in our consciousness and in our lives.